Well, that portion of scripture inspires me. Here is a young man, Elisha, who's a servant of the great prophet Elijah. But he longed for the spirit that was upon Elijah to come upon him. And he requests. And Elijah says, well, if you see me when I'm taken away, it'll be done for you. And that journey started back at Gilgal, to Bethel, to Jordan, to Jericho, then to the Jordan. Each place, Elijah would say to Elisha, you know, just stay here. You know, I'm going to go on. Just stay here. And he said, no, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And then when he's at a certain place, the other young school of the prophets, they say, do you know your master's being taken away today? And they wanted to engage him in conversation. And he said, oh, be quiet, be quiet. It's like his eyes were just locked on Elijah. He had a desire for an anointing. That same anointing power is for us today. In fact, it's much stronger today because in the Old Testament, the anointing just came upon the prophets. Today, that anointing can enter into our very spirit and transform us and give us the character of Christ in our hearts and our life. We need that anointing. Do you hunger for it like Elisha did? We had a water baptism in the first service, and it was great to lay hands on Lisa at the end of that and to see her. Receive the power of the same anointing, the Holy Spirit, into her life. Well, today, I want to talk to you about the value of connection. Connection. Elisha's anointing was based on his connection to Elijah and that he would see him when he left. And so I want to talk to you about the value of connection this morning. Well, it starts with this first point. Hope that you picked up a fill-in sheet, can follow along with us this morning. Sin broke our connection with God. God created man, placed him in the garden. He had fellowship with man. But then the tempter came and tempted him to rebel against God's word and his commands and to do their own thing and to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which basically meant it was symbolic. I believe there was a particular tree there, but it was symbolic, telling them they wanted to eat of this fruit, that they would decide for themselves what's right and wrong. They wouldn't go by God's command, but we'll decide for ourselves what is right and wrong. God told them, don't ever take of that tree and take that upon yourself because it will kill you. And sure enough, it did. It separated man, that sin separated man from God in the sense that his spirit was withdrawn, the fellowship no longer existed that was there in the beginning. Isaiah 59:2 says, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Sin is not a good thing, folks. Can allure you, can be very enticing, but the wages of sin is death. Separates us from God. The soul that sins shall surely die will be separated from God. We don't want that. There's a terrible end to sin. It ends in a terrible way. Very alluring at the beginning, but it ends in a terrible way. Don't ever be deceived by sin. The Bible talks about being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. You know, don't fall into that deception. It breaks our connection with God. So God loved man, didn't want to judge him, but there was a judgment that death came upon him. But God also is righteous. God is loving and kind and merciful, but he's also righteous and just and holy. A lot of times people will stress that God is loving and kind and gracious and that side of God, which he is. But many times they fail to see that God is just as righteous and holy and just, and every sin will bring its just penalty. God cannot ignore sin. It just is repulsive. It's at the very nature of God He cannot stand sin. Can't look at sin with any degree of allowance. It must be judged. So he's got to find a way. Why? Because he loves man. He's got to find a way to bring his mercy and his truth together. And the scripture said that Jesus came, the Word became flesh, and full of mercy and truth. He came with both, and he came to do a job. The God-man, he was God, and that after the Spirit, he was God. But after the flesh, he was a man. He was the God-man. He came to bring reconciliation. The scripture says there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. He came to bridge the gap, to bring us back into relationship with God. And so he came representing God, but he came also representing man. He was the God-man. He hung between heaven and earth on the cross, and that is where he made reconciliation. As man, he took the judgment of sin upon himself, and he died taking all the sins of the world and its penalty upon himself. But as God, God is merciful, and he raised Christ from the dead, and he offers this forgiveness that says now through Christ there's a way made where you can come back into relationship with me. Jesus came to earth to restore our relationship with God. And so he came to make this way. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. I'm the life, the restoration of life. And I'm the truth. This is the reality. There's no other way through Jesus Christ. He was the God-man. It says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John 5:20, the Son of Man has come so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the connection. He is the only true God and he is eternal life. When you want to boil it all down, it comes to this. Christianity is not a religion. It's a restored relationship. A lot of people just lump Christianity with all the religions of the world. But the religions of the world, they're man's attempts to reach God, to satisfy God, to please God. I got to be good enough that God will not judge me. But we see that's a dead-end street. Because man cannot save himself. We cannot be good enough. And so religions always say, try harder, do better. And some people can think Christianity is just a bunch of rules and regulations and keep this and don't do that and do this and view it that way. But that is such a sad representation of Christianity because it's not to do with religion. In fact, Christ came to do away with religion. Religion started at the Tower of Babel. And they were trying to reach heaven, trying to reach God. But Jesus came to make a way for us. And now all we have to do is surrender our hearts to the Lord and repent of our sin and turn back to God and say, I don't want to run my own life. I'm not fit to run my own life. You're the creator. Lord, what do you have for me? What's your plan and purpose for me? I surrender to you. That's repentance. That's turning back to God. And then you show that by water baptism. It's a point of connection where you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And so you say, that's when the penalty of my sin was carried out. He died on the cross. So I have taken that as my death. So I bury that old life that was under the judgment of sin. I bury it in the waters of baptism. Then I come out of the waters to live a new life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in fellowship with God, a restored relationship with God. And that's shown in the scripture. They laid hands on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit after they were baptized. And it sort of summarizes it all in Acts 2:38. When they said, what must we do in light of this, that this God-man came to save us? And he said, repent, turn back to God. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This power and fellowship with God is going to flow back and make you alive again. And this promise is to you, to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. So this is the message of salvation. And the young lady that Lisa, who this morning, she took those steps of connection, repentance, waters of baptism, receiving the laying on of hands for the impartation of the Holy Spirit. This is the message. This is the good news. But the reality of it, that God came to restore a relationship with himself. It's not to restore yourself by now starting to really make a concerted effort to do all these things I know I should do, but I can't do, because you'll still be in the same place. The only thing that makes it reality is that you have a life now. The life of the Spirit is in you. It's giving you love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. All the things you couldn't do are now coming out of this life relationship with the Lord. You sense him in your heart. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's always prompting you. You're never alone. It's a fellowship and a relationship with God. That's what 1 John 5, we have come that we might know the true God, and now we live in fellowship with the true God. That's what knowing Christ is all about. So Christianity is not a religion. It's a restored relationship. And here's the next point. When we connect with Christ, we connect with each other. Now this is what so many people miss. Not only do you connect with God, but now you connect with one another. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. This is the great melting pot. Doesn't matter what culture you came from. Doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what status you are in life, slave or free. We all come into one body. As someone said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. When you come to Christ, we come and we take on a new identity. We are Christians. We're little Christ. Christ is in us. So each one of us is part of the member of the body of Christ. And so we are to be connected to one another, because we're all baptized into one Spirit. When the result of all this happens, when you're baptized in water and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, now suddenly you find yourself, when you come out the other end, I'm in this body. I'm a member of a body. Christ is the head. And we're all individually members. We're connected one to another, fellowshipping with God, but also fellowshipping with one another. So the connection is not just with God, but one another. The vision statement of our church is to connect people with God and one another so we can fulfill our purpose in life. God's got a plan for you. You're not an afterthought. You're not an add-on. He knows you. He knows you by name. I was reading it in the Bible readings that I do in the morning. He said, I know you by name. For all the multitude of people in the world today, he knows your name. He knows your family. He knows your situation. He knows everything about you. He knows you. And he wants to connect you with other people, because together, collectively, he wants us to do something in this world. But it's accomplished through his body, not just as lone rangers now doing our own thing, connected to God. We have to be connected to God, but just as strongly we need to be connected with one another. Because this anointing we have, it's a personal anointing, but it's not an individual anointing. The anointing we receive, the scripture says, well, in two different passages. First it says Christ is the vine and we're the branches. And then in the Old Testament, how the unity of people together, it says it's like the oil poured out on the head of Aaron. and the oil ran down his beard, onto his garments, onto the hems of his garment, the anointing oil. Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And as we come into Christ, it flows down from the beard down to the members of the body. You take a position in the body and the flow comes to you. It's not an individual anointing. It's not like I'm standing here, you're standing there, this person's standing over here. No, he says my flow of my anointing is from Christ into my body. And as you humble yourself and you take a place in the body, then the anointing oil flows to you. Life is in the body. The function of your abilities are in the body. We'll read some scriptures here regarding this as we go on. Just want you to see that relationships are life-giving and life-transforming. If you want your life changed, it's going to be happening in the body. If you want to change and be a better, you want to be more productive, it's going to happen in the body. Your growth happens in the body. And so, let's carry on here. There is no relationship without connection. Relationship is based on connection, not proximity. So I put just in your notes this statement. Proximity does not constitute connection. Just being next to a person doesn't mean that you're connected. Being in the same locality doesn't mean that you're connected. Doing the same job doesn't mean you're connected. You're just close to each other. You're working in proximity one another. But there has to be a connection, a link, one to the other. Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And as we're in that body, then there's a personal flow to us of God's life. But it's related by our being together in his body. What's the nature of the connection? It's the next point. It is a heart-to-heart connection. It's a heart-to-heart connection. Spirit-to-spirit connection. It's not a body-to-body connection. It's a heart-to-heart connection. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. This unity is so close, it's like a body. He constantly uses this term, the body. That if one member is suffering, everybody suffers. If my finger gets hurt and slam it somehow, I grab out for it. I reach it and I take hold of it. And I'm the whole body suffers with it. The whole body stops what it's doing. Everybody addresses the hurt finger. You know, everybody is waiting. How, what's it look like? How is it? What's happening with the finger? When one member suffers, we all suffer. Is I wonder how it is with us? One member hurts, we all turn? Or do we say, serves them right. I saw the way they were acting. Shouldn't have acted that way. You dismiss it? Well, there's no heart-to-heart connection then. It's just someone you go to church with. You're not really connected to them. There's no life flow between you. Sometimes you almost think, well, I guess they got what they deserved. I mean, man, oh man, oh man. Never let those words come out of your mouth. None of us want to get what we deserve. It's only by grace that we stand in God's presence. Don't curse yourself by saying, let that person get what they deserve. I hope no one gets what they deserve. I hope every person turns to God and receives his forgiveness. Whoever is hurting, whoever's wounded themselves, whoever got themselves in a position where they got hurt and wounded, rather than judging them, it's a matter that we reach out, we grab them, we hold on to, not because we have to, not because I'm assigned to do it, No, this is a life-to-life connection, a heart-to-heart connection. Someone is in the hospital and they're suffering. It's not like, who's going to go see them? No, if you're connected and you're there joined to another person, you're just there automatically. There's a life source in you. You reach out, you're wrapping your arms around you, you're encouraging them. Because if one member suffers, we all suffer. And if someone rejoices, we all rejoice. There's no competition. Why are they getting all that? Why are they getting all the praise? I don't seem to be getting. No one sees what I'm doing. You know, we this foolish talk comes out of our mouths many times. But it shows we're not connected. It shows we're just in proximity to another. When one person rejoices, we all rejoice. If someone reaches out and shakes my hand and congratulates me, my hand doesn't say, hey, you see what he's doing? He's congratulating me. And we don't go, how come the hand got to be shaken? No, the whole body takes the praise. Not just my hand receiving the handshake and the congratulations, but man, the whole body's rejoicing with what's happening. This is the connection. This is the fellowship that God wants us to have. Our connection is with God and with each other because we're in a body. When you got saved, you got baptized, I'm in a body now. You're not meant. It's like a child being born in the hospital and you say, well, let's leave them there. We're all going home. No. They go home with a family. There's someone to care for them and to nurture them. There's so many metaphors in the scripture, but it's so strong. The point of connection is so, so vitally strong. Listen to what it says in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I mean, how can this be? Here are people that's associating, identifying, participating. And the Lord turns to him and says, you know what? Never really knew you. You got close. You got involved, but you never really connected your heart. You never really gave yourself to this. I wanted to know you, but I don't know you. I don't want us to be deceived. I don't want us to be seen and say, you know, I went to church, I got involved, I did this, I did that. And the Lord's saying, but you know, you did it, but you did it outwardly, you did it independently. And folks, it shows usually because that's when we want praise, we want recognition, we're very hurt, we're judgmental of other people when they don't do what we think they should be doing. We're doing our part. I don't know where the rest of the people are. It's because there's no connection. There's no sense of unity and fellowship and caring and love. It's the love of God that allows us to do the things that the scripture says we should do by blessing those that curse us. And for doing good to those who hate us and praying for those who spitefully use me, that those are automatic things that just come. I'm not necessarily trying to do those things because if I just try in my own flesh without connection, oh man, that's impossible to do. Try to grip my tooth to do all this stuff. But when I've lost my identity, I've died to myself, I'm now in a body. Now I care for those people around me so that when even in the judgment, when the Lord says, you know, I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And they're going to say, Lord, we never visited you in prison and we never gave you clothes. We never saw this. And Jesus is going to say, if you've done this to the least of your brethren, you've done it to me. Christ is in all of us. Because we're all members of one body. And there's a kinship with one another that comes with heart-to-heart connections. When you give yourself to someone else, I think it can be best expressed this way. You know you're connected to the church when you carry somebody else's heart in your heart. You're feeling for them. You're carrying their heart. You see their struggles. You see what they need. You're carrying their heart in your heart. And then someone is carrying you in their heart. That you're not alone. There's a physical expression of Christ's love to you because of the person that I'm connected to in the body. Because we're all connected. Toes to the foot to the ankles to the legs. And we could sing the song about the connections in the body. But it's connections. And so we all have a function. And when one is hurt, we all hurt. And we all reach out to heal and to bring support and encouragement. Sometimes it's also reproving. There's a place to say, you know what, stop doing that. But you're not saying it out of a pointing of the finger. You're saying it out of like arms around the person saying, you know, you need to stop doing this. You're hurting yourself. That's when the body begins to grow and become all that God wants it to be. But it comes out of heart-to-heart connections. So I guess we could ask this question. Are you truly connected? Are you truly connected? Or is it sort of a loose connection? You know, this morning when I came in early and they were practicing and I saw the chairs were a little bit out of alignment, so I just went through the chairs and straightening them through the auditorium here. But I don't know whether you know, but all these chairs are connected together. Every chair has a hook, a little metal hook off the side of the seat. And then the next chair has a little loop. And you connect the chairs by putting the hook in the loop. And so if I pull on that first chair out, that other chair at the end will go with it because they're all connected. So I'm connecting, I'm pulling and pushing, and every now and then I see there's a disruption, and oh, I got disconnected. I go over and I saw, oh, the hook got out of the loop. So I just hooked the hook back into the loop. It's a simple illustration, one that I sensed this morning. But there was a unity, there was a connection. The value of connection is when you hook together, when hearts are interlocked. So it's not just we got a common ambition, we have a common goal. We're all together here. We're going to work for that. That's not sufficient. That's not the life flow. That's not a heart union. Those are natural things that people find in the world when clubs and in sports and whatever. But it's not the body of Christ. We have a spiritual union with God. And that's why the union with each other works, because by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. And we have to be connected, solidly connected. I don't know, sometimes at home you go to plug into the wall socket, and when you plug it in it sort of sparks a little bit and you hear a little bzzz sound. Now if you get an electrician to come and look at it, he'd say, oh, there's a loose connection. The screw got loosened. It's just sitting there. And so when the power flows, it buzzes and it shorts across the gap and it makes sparks. It can actually start a fire and burn the house down. A loose connection. We don't want to be a church of loose connections. We want to be solid. We want to be connected. We want to be screwed in the sense of, this is where I am. This is where I belong. This is where God has placed me. This is where I function. Connected in the presence of the Lord. It says in Hebrews 10:24, let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our own meetings, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, even more so because you see the day dawning near. Coming together is the beginning of connections. Being committed to the body of Christ in its activities is a means to get these connections. The Bible warns, he's writing Christians, even the early church. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He says, the manner of some are, some sort of indifferently, sporadic. So don't do that, but be committed. See, connections is a matter of commitment. You commit to something. It's not at your, at my pleasure, whether I want to, whether I don't want to. There's a commitment in connection. You sense a part of a whole, and your heart's there. It's not just trying to, but because of my connection with other people, I care for them, and you sense God's flow through you to other people. That when you come together, God might prompt you in a service, and a verse comes to your mind and says, share that with so-and-so. Take that as a flow of one member to another member. You see, our spiritual growth happens in the body. If you cut a member of your body off and set it to the side, it will no longer grow. It grows in the body. Growth is a function of the body, being in the body. Your function is a function of being in the body. You know, if you're an ear, you're an ear, an eye, you're an eye. This is biblical examples. The ear, I can't say to the ear, I don't have any need of you. The hand can't say, I don't have any need of the foot. We all have a different function. We're all in the body. We care for one another. And together we do work. Together my hand does what my head has told me, but the eye sees it, the ear functions, my feet move, the whole body moves to do something. When we are to do something in the body of Christ, we function together. So growth is in the body. Your function is in the body. But you've got to be committed to being together. It starts with a commitment of belonging and of commitment to each other. Otherwise, if it's a loose connection, it's just a lot of sparks, a lot of criticism, a lot of complaining. But when we're connected together, we're more concerned about what God is saying to me. And when you hear about something, you're praying for the person. And the Lord might be saying, give them a call. Just encourage them. And as you do that, the other side, boy, I was just thinking, I was just praying that God would encourage me some way, and you called. I don't know how many times I've heard that when people speak about reaching out to one another in the body. Because everybody knows their need, but they don't always know your need. But the thing is, the beautiful thing is that God prompts us, and we minister one to another through the body. It starts by being together. So I'm a little out of order here, but let me go back to this. What you need to do is be present and engaged. When you're together, when we're together, be present. Be there in the moment. Don't let your mind wander all over. We come together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. When we come together, God is there. He's going to function. His body's getting together in this locality. And so we say, God, help me. Let me be engaged. First of all, just be on time. Just show up on time. Be considerate of other people. And there's such a heart that you want to be there. And I want to be there in time. I want to be there ahead of time. I want to greet a few people before the service starts. You're just on time. and you give your attention to the service and what we're doing. If we're worshiping, we're worshiping. If we're praying, we're praying. And you're sensing other people around you. I tell you, it's not just for what you receive, but it's for what you will give when you're there. And a lot of it just happens in the interactions between people. Just the encouragement, just a word here, a word there. The encouragement to one another as we're together. These are important things. And just be at every service. I'm so glad I grew up in a home where this was just a given. I mean, when I grew up, we just never missed church. And you think that's an exaggeration. He's just sort of saying they never missed church. I mean, we never missed church. We never missed church. I can think of 3 or 4 times in my life that we didn't go to church. I remember one of those times, we were going out the driveway. It was in the winter and it started to snow. And Dad was sort of hitting these drifts across. We had a long lane getting back to the farm. And he was going out and he got to the road and it was blowing hard. And I remember him stopping so reluctantly and saying, you know what, I'm afraid if we might get there, but you know, we're not going to get home tonight. This is going to drift us in. And reluctantly, we turned around and went home. We were trying to go to church, but we turned around and went home. I tell you, that's a heritage I treasure now because it served me well all my life. And I think about my brothers, my brother and my sisters. They all serve God and love God. All their children are Christians. They serve God and love God. You know why? We all grew up in the church. That was just passed on from generation to generation to generation. We went to church. We went to where the body was. When you're there, that's when connections can happen. Where it's where you get prompted. Even years later, when Kay and I started the church here, we'd meet on Sunday morning, and sometimes Mom and Dad would drive up, and they'd be in the service with us on Sunday morning. And then they'd come back to our house, and we'd have lunch. But about mid-afternoon, Dad would say to my mother, well, maybe we better be headed back, because we want to be on time for church tonight. There's going to be a lot of people away this weekend, and so we want to make sure we're at church. And I just told Kay after, I said, that's how I grew up. Church is the priority. Visitors would come over to our house. They'd be staying at our house. They might come on a Sunday afternoon. And Dad would say, well, folks, it's about time for church. Why don't you come with us? And they'd either come with us or they'd go home because church had the priority. We went to church. Understand me, folks. It's not just coming to a church service. But the desire to be in the church service was a desire to be with God's people. And when you're with God's people, you will connect. And there's heart-to-heart connections with people. So it starts with an outward thing, maybe, of going to and a commitment to going to church, but it ends in a spiritual connection that will serve you right all your life. Because I always had a value for church. Even to this day, we'll go on vacation. The first thing when we get in there, we'll say, let's find a church to go to on Sunday. And Dale Everett, he's going to be with us again in October, by the way, Dale Everett. We met him in Florida. We went to church on a Sunday, just went to the phone book and found a church that we thought would be a good to go to. We went there and the special speaker was Dale Everett. Well, I connected with him and he came and has been at our church several times over the years and it's a blessing to us. But that was a connection that was made because that was a desire on vacation to go to church. I'm just trying to cultivate our hearts today because it's in the cultivation of our hearts, in the softness of our hearts, that we can connect to one another. The individualism rolls off of us, and the rough edges what's good for me and how is this helping me? And those things are smoothed away, and you get connected into a body where now, yes, this does help me, but now my gifts help them. The scripture says, have you considered how you can spur one another on to good works? Have you thought about it? You being who God wants you to be is dependent on your connections in the body? It is. And the scripture says, consider and don't forsake getting together, especially as the time gets closer to the Lord's return. So, our spiritual growth is dependent upon our connection to each other. Listen to this verse. We've already chatted around this. You may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working which every part does its share, causes growth of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So the whole body is joined and knit, intertwined, knit together, and every joint supplies. A joint is where two members come together. This member, elbow joint, the arm and the torso, the shoulder joint. It's a joint. And there's a supply through the joints. There's a supply one to another, the encouragement of one another, the praying for one another. You know, there's 31 or 32 verses in the Bible that talks about one another. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. You can just go through the list over and over, one another, because through the joints there's supply and everyone does their part. Your part's different than someone else. You don't have to do what someone else does. Just do what you do and what you feel and what the Spirit's prompting you to do. And so you just yield to it. And you just say a little small thing. To you it's small, and you don't know the impact it has on another person. Because you are joined. And God wants you to share something. He wants to talk to them in a way that they would hear it. So one encourages the other. Here's the next one. Take the initiative to connect with someone. Take the initiative to connect with someone. You know what? When you're really serious about it, you got to connect. I mean, don't be close. Connect. I mean, cross the line. Just go all in. This t-shirt, baptism t-shirt, says all in. All in at KWCF. You just got to get all in. You just plunge in. You just say, you know what? No longer I'm going to be on the side. I'm not just going to dabble in the corners of the water. I'm all in. I'm throwing myself into the church. I'm going to be involved. This is my body. This is where God wants me to be. You will be surprised at the difference. The sense of fellowship you have. The flow of life that will come to you. And the words you speak and the things you do, how it influences someone else. And many times it's just by example. There are so many people I think to myself, I want to be like them in this. I'd like to be like them. I even pray that way sometimes. Lord, I'd like to be like that person. Because I see something in them and it's inspiring me. And I want to be like that. That's part of the body growing and nurturing itself and growing up into things. But you'll never do it on the sidelines. Listen, you'll never score when you're standing on the side ground lines. You need to get in the game. Yeah, it can be bruising in the game. But man, it's worth it because there's something on the line. There's victory. There's defeat. It's on the line. The benefit of the kingdom of God, the victory of the kingdom of God, what God wants to accomplish on earth. I want to get in the game. I want to be all in. And it's a body. No, you know, whole thing of team, as they say, there's no I in team. I mean, the church is a team. We're a body. We're all different, but we all have a place to play. We just need to work together, connect heart to heart with each other. Here's some practical things I say, take initiative. Connect to grow. There's life groups in the church. Why do we have groups of 8 and 10? Because that's where you can get to know one another. That's where the heart-to-heart connections happen. So you're together and you're praying for each other and you're hearing someone else share and you're talking about it the next week and how did that go? And you're learning something from God's word or you're doing something practical together and you're getting to know each other. You're becoming friends. It's not just looking at the back of the head of someone that's sitting in front of you on a Sunday morning. You get to know each other and you grow in a small group. And that's what the purpose of small groups, they have an end. They're just forming now. And we're changing things up, as you know. They'll start in staggers and they won't all start at one time. We're looking for people that will host a group, and someone that will step up. If you have the ability to do that, you need to do it. You need to step up. Now, don't rule yourself out. Sometimes you say, well, I don't have the ability to do that. You can do more than you think you can. In fact, as we're talking about it, that's a constantly thing when we're talking about planning. We say, you know, how do we get people to realize they can do this? They always rule themselves out. They can't do this. I can't do this. Yeah, you can. And you can do it, or you can just assist someone the first time and learn, like Elisha and Elijah. You know, just be the servant. Just come. Come alongside. The other part is connect to minister. Ministry teams. You know, there's so many ministry teams. And it was even mentioned this morning. You know, if you'd like to get involved in the worship team and you have those giftings, hey, come forward. If you want to work with children, hey, there's room for you to work with children. There's so many. Work with youth. Work with this. There's so many different things. Or maybe you start something. Because you got a gift for something and you have a heart for something, the church is to help you be successful in what you're called to do. So all of these things are working together. And here's the key verse in all of this, Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift makes room for him. A man's gift makes room for him. Not a man's giftedness. See, some people come, well, no one's asked me to do anything. No one ever calls me to do anything. As if I'm gifted, why don't they recognize my giftedness? It's not your giftedness that makes room for you. It's your gift, what you contribute, how you've got involved, how you've helped out. Will you just come along and say, you see something, hey, can I help with that? You're just on the team. Your gift will make room for you. Some people come to the church and they go, you know what, I just don't feel like I fit. I don't think there's place for me there. You know, have you given your gift? Have you started just giving in some way, helping out somewhere? That gift makes room for you. You become indispensable when you're giving your gift because we all have different gifts and different abilities. So I'm trying to encourage us today in a very fundamental thing, the value of connections. It starts with connecting to God through repentance, baptism, being filled with God's Spirit. Now I'm in a body. Now I'm going to grow in the body. I'm going to mature in the body. I'm going to find my function in the body. I commit to the body. I get all in. And then you see God beginning to do things that you never thought would happen. Here's the last one. Desire and anticipate a greater anointing. Desire and anticipate a greater anointing. You can be more than you think you can be. You have potential that has never even been scratched on the surface. You are wonderfully made. We fall so far short of what we could be. This brings us full circle to the scripture that Kay read this morning of Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet of God. You know how it describes Elisha when you first read about it? He was the servant of Elijah. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, when Elijah wanted to wash his hands, Elisha would run and get the basin, get the water run over, and as Elijah was washing his hand. Elisha was just pouring the water over the hands of Elijah. He was just using his gift. He was just serving. I maybe can't do anything, but I can pour water on the hands of Elijah. But he had a greater hunger. You heard it this morning. He hungered for more. He saw what Elijah did. He said, Lord, I want a spirit like that. Not only that, but then he got real big in his thinking. Lord, I want a double anointing. I want double what Elijah has. So he asked Elijah. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. In other words, it really wasn't Elijah's to give God. But he said, you know, if you see me when I go. Well, he was steadfast, committed, all in from that point on. Elijah said, stay here in Gilgal. No, I'm going with you. Stay here in Bethel. No, I'm going with you. People saying, engaging him in conversation, be quiet, be quiet. I got my eyes. I'm fixed. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to see this man when he goes. They crossed the Jordan. He got his eyes fixed until he sees him go and the mantle comes down. He picks up the mantle, treasures it. He uses it on the water. He saw Elijah use it crossing the water. He said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? I've got the mantle here. And he strikes the water and the water splits. And the prophet said, the spirit that was upon Elijah is now upon Elisha. 1 Kings is the story of Elijah being the prophet. 2 Kings is the story of Elisha being the prophet. And someone counted up the miracles. Elisha did twice the number of miracles that's recorded that Elijah did. There was an anointing. Not that it's all in miracles, but you know what I mean. There was a representation of what Elisha wanted came about. I'm trying to inspire us. There's a greater anointing. Don't be content to just sit. Don't content to be where you are. Take your next step. Aspire to something greater. It's not just yourself. It says if you desire an office of being a particular office in the church, it says you desire good things. There's nothing wrong with ambition, but just do it and realize the servant is the greatest. The servant is the greatest. I just want to keep serving. I just want to keep helping. I want to benefit other people. I'm part of the body here. I'm going to have my ears open. I'm going to be alert to what I can do to help someone else along. And we're going to see the kingdom grow, the body grow, and God's kingdom come on earth. Would you stand with me this morning? We're all on a spiritual journey. Don't stop. Don't stop at Gilgal. Don't stop at Bethel. Don't stop in Jericho. Others might be saying, hey, just stop. Just stay here. No, no, I'm pressing on. I want something greater. I want all that God has for me. I believe God's speaking to us this morning, speaking to all of us. Hear what the Lord's saying to you. There's not one person the Lord isn't whispering in your heart. He's saying, get all in, get all in, get all in. I've got much for you. Oh, Lord, we stand here in your presence, realizing your word is so true. We also, Lord, see how sometimes we stop. We get content. We sit back. Lord, may that not be the case. May we awake out of slumber. May we be alert to the things of God. May we not be distracted by the voices of this world that tries to tear us up, get us to settle down and not get involved. And Lord, we want to be all that you want us to be. I pray that you would grant heart-to-heart connections with people in this congregation. Maybe a church, Lord, that's powerful, united, moving forward, accomplishing great things for you. I ask, Lord, that we would receive the benefit in our personal life, in our families, in our extended families, Lord. Lord, we just stand before you. May that hunger, that desire grow in the hearts of people here. May May they sense the call that you have on their life. And may they walk steadily forward. In Jesus' name.